हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ यच्छन्दसामृषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोऽभ्योऽध्यमृतात् सम्बभूव समेन्द्रो मेधया स्पृणोतु अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासम् शरीरम् मे विचर्षणम् जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्याम् भूरिविश्रुवम् ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतम् मे गोपाय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः This Medha Prarthana Mantra also is from the same Upanishad. We will be learning soon. And we will include this in our regular prayer. Om Shanno Mitra Sham Varuna Shanno Bhavatvaryama Shanna Indro Brihaspatihi शन्नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षम् ब्रह्मासि त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षम् ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतम् वदिष्यामि सत्यम् वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः यस्माज्जातम् जगत्सर्वम् यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदम् धार्यते चैव तच्चस्तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः यदि मे गुरुभिः पूर्वम् पदवाक्यप्रमाणतः व्याख्याता सर्ववेदान्तास्तान्नित्यम् प्रणतोऽस्म्यहम् सो इन् दिस् वेरि ग्रेट् भाष्यम् कमेण्टरि नोन् एस् सम्बन्धभाष्यम् ఆదిశంకర భగవత్పాద మేక్స్ ఇట్ వెరీ క్లియర్ దట్ మోక్ష దిస్ అబ్సల్యూట్ గోల్ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ ఈజ్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్ విచ్ ఈజ్ ఆస్పైర్ ఫార్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్ యాజ్ వన్స్ ఓన్ స్వరూపం ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్ యాజ్ ద స్వరూపం ఆఫ్ ద రియాలిటీ It is this moksha a human mind is aspiring for. When you say moksha, the literal meaning may be freedom. The implied meaning is happiness, fullness, limitlessness. And this fullness, happiness is already there as the very nature of the reality. It is there as the nature of one's own self. What we are aspiring for is permanent moksha. We are not interested in temporary freedom. We work very hard, ultimately, not to attain something temporary, something time-bound. What we are aspiring for is everlasting moksha. If the moksha which we discover is going to be time bound, we will not be interested. What we're aspiring for is everlasting mokshaha, nitya nirantara sukham. Therefore, if it should last forever, it should not have beginning. This is what Pujya Swamiji used to say this. Very, make it very clear. What I am aspiring for is definitely, doubtlessly, permanent mokshaha. We shouldn't get lost at all. Then if the moksha I'm aspiring for is everlasting, timeless, permanent, unchanging, it must be already there beginninglessly. It must be already there beginninglessly. Why? Anything which begins has an end. Anything which comes in time should end in time. Anything which is created, produced, newly brought into existence will go in time. Therefore, this moksha, what is searched for by human mind is everlasting, beginningless, endless, everlasting. So mokshaha nityaha and a nitya swarupaha. The nityaha moksha is what is searched for, what is aspired for. Therefore, any karma we do, how much karma we do, all these karmas which Shastram has prescribed here, classified beautifully as vihita karmani, avihita karmani, or vihita karmani as nitya karmani, naimittika karmani, kamya karmani, patishiddha karmani, prayaschitta karmani, kamya karmani, all whatever karma, laukikani karmani, vaidikani karmani, all these various activities involving body, mind, sense complex, the physical activities, oral activities, mental activities, all activities have time limitation. Any action has time bound. And any accessory used for performing an action also is time bound. Accessories involved in performing actions are time-bound. Actions are time-bound. Whether it is laukikam karma or vaidikam karma. Therefore, the result of karma also must be time-bound. There cannot be a timeless, everlasting result of time-bound action at all. This we must remember. This we have understood in different Upanishads. When we studied before, long ago, these facts are not at all new facts for us. We have already understood clearly. We are again reminded of the same facts in this Bhashyam. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear in the Sambandha Bhashyam, na karmana, no action can ever produce result, produce moksha as a result. The moksha which we are aspiring for definitely is something to be discovered through the discovery of the reality. So, jnanat eva mokshaha, jnanat eva kaivalyam. This is what he wants to establish. So, we saw in the previous class, I'm coming to the class now, Purapakshi, here, whose views are refuted, is Puramimamsakaha, a Karmakandi, who completely rejects calling himself a Vaidikaha, completely rejects the Jnanakanda portion of the Veda. And he has his own different reasons he gives. What he wants is simply avoiding the accumulation of punyam and papam in this janma. Not having any punya papam, not having earned any punya papam in this janma, we can attain moksha effortlessly. we need not strive for jnanam. That is his view. So in the last class we saw, even mistaking Manusmriti's quotation, for which explained that, you know, also using Panini's, you know, the Vyakarana rule, he tried to say that moksha is accomplishable as a result of karma. And that Shankaracharya refuted. We saw that. And what I explained last class, I also sent a small note afterwards. Hope you all would have read it. If at all have any doubt, you must ask me again. Anyway, after completing this Bhashyam, Sambandha Bhashyam, I will send a brief summary of the whole Sambandha Bhashyam. You can remember it easily. Okay. Now, this Purapakshi continues. Now he says, okay, there is a word niratishayaha. Niratishayaha means incomparable, limitless. But the happiness, the sukham, the pleasure enjoyable in heaven, when compared to the sukham enjoyable in this world, bhuloka. Bhuloka sukhasya apekshaya. Swargaloka sukham. The sukham experienceable, enjoyable in heaven is much longer sukham. Because that only sukham is experienced in heaven. Because even heaven is attainable, one can go to heaven, enjoy the pain-free pleasure, only having accumulated punyam. So as a result of accumulating punyam, one can go to heaven and experience that sukha, only sukham, which is pain-free sukham, pain-free pleasure. But that even life in sukham, the sukham in heaven also, will come to an end. Because as long as punyam is, one can experience sukham. When punyam gets exhausted, again one has to come back to this world. So that even heavenly sukham, heavenly pleasure is not everlasting. But when compared to the sukham enjoyable in this world, that sukham is, that pleasure is much longer. Much, much longer experience of sukham one can have in heaven. Therefore, this Purapakshi mistakes heaven itself as attainment of heaven. Itself is mistakes to be attainment of moksha. This is the idea many other people of other cultures also have, this idea. Once you go to heaven, escape from this world, go to heaven, and you can have freedom, you can have happiness. Then you will not experience any pain. So moksha sukha, what is moksha praptihi? Swarga praptihi eva moksha praptihi. This is another view of a Purapakshi, this Karmakandi, Puramamsaka. So I'm going to read this page now. Yathoktam Niratishaya Pritehe. Niratishaya Pritihi. Pritihi literally means love. But here Pritihi is that which is desired. That which is loved is happiness. So Niratishaya Pritihi means Niratishayam Sukham. Niratishaya Pritihi is equal to Niratishayam Sukham. Niratishaya Pritehe means Niratishaya Sukhasya. Swarga Shabda Vachyayaha. See, Niratishayam Sukham is Swarga Shabda Vachyam. Is the meaning of the word Swarga. What is meaning of the word Swargaha? Swargaha is equal to incomparable, permanent happiness. Niratishaya Pritehe Swarga Shabda Vachyayaha. First he says, Swarga Shabda Vachya Niratishaya Pritihi. Which means, everlasting incomparable happiness is what is meant by the word Niratishaya Praptihi. Pritihi. Niratishaya Pritihi, otherwise called Niratishayam Sukham. So everlasting happiness is the meaning of the word heaven. And that heaven, how is obtainable? Karmanimittatvat. Karmanimittatvat means this everlasting happiness is the meaning of the word heaven, which is meant by the word heaven, has karma as its cause. Karma as its cause. It means performance of specific rituals or accumulating abundance of punyam through righteous actions. Karma watch, karma nimittatvat. Karma nimittatvat has karma as its cause. So everlasting happiness, permanent incomparable happiness, meant by the word heaven, swarga, has karma as its cause. Karma nimittatvat, as happiness, meaning of the word karma, meaning of the word swarga, has karma as its cause, he says, karma bhyaha eva mokshaha iti. This is his karma bhyaha eva mokshaha. Mokshaha is attainable from karma, means as the result of certain actions only, rituals only. Karma bhyaha eva mokshaha. So it's very clear. Moksha is a result of an action. Perform certain specific rituals and go to heaven. Earn punyam, go to heaven. Then you have attained moksha. So you do not need jnanam. That is his idea. Iti, until iti, Purupakshi's view. And the Shankara Bhagavatapada's answer comes. Tat na. That is not correct. Why it is not correct? Moksha is attainable as a result of action, as a result of performing rituals, is not correct because nityatvat mokshasya. Mokshasya nityatvat. As moksha has the status of being timeless. What does it mean? Mokshaha is of the nature of timelessness. Moksha is of nature. Moksha is everlasting. Timelessness is the nature of moksha. Because what is aspired for is timeless freedom, everlasting freedom. And everlasting freedom, timeless freedom, cannot be a result of time-bound action. Even if it is a great action, even if it can produce any amount of punyam, even if it can help one to go to heaven, still, time-bound action cannot produce timeless result. The moksha being timeless, mokshasya nityatvat, mokshaha nityaha, this must get ingrained in our buddhi. Mokshaha nityaha. Freedom is everlasting. Happiness is everlasting. Happiness is timeless. Mokshaha is timeless. Therefore, heaven, attainment of heaven is not attainment of mokshaha. Because heaven is heavenly life. Heavenly enjoyment of pleasures is time-bound. And moksha aspired for is timeless. And moksha is timeless. Now again he's explaining, Nahi nityam kinchit arabhyate loke. in this world loke nityam kinchit nahi arabhyate na kinchit nityam arabhyate loke. In this world it is a well known fact for even ordinary human being, in this anybody, anyone knows in this world, eternal is not begun. Nityam na arabhyate, kinchit na arabhyate. Eternal is not begun. Eternal, when you say, it is beginningless. The very word eternal implies beginninglessness. And eternal cannot have a beginning. Therefore, nityam na arabhyate. Yad arabdham tad anityam. So eternal, timeless is that which is not begun. Yad arabdham, that which is begun, that is time bound, anityam. Anything begun, anything created, produced, newly brought into existence, that is time bound. That comes to an end. Tad anityam. This is the general law. Ataha, therefore, na karmarabhyaha mokshaha. Therefore, mokshaha is not something which is begun as a result of action. Na karmarabhyaha mokshaha. So, swargaha is something which has a beginning. You perform rituals, you perform actions, earn punyam, then only go to heaven. So, life in heaven begins. Heavenly life begins. It has a beginning. So, after the exhaustion of punyam, it will come to an end also. But he thinks, because it is said, and this Niratishaya Preetihi, Niratishayam Sukham is said to be the meaning of the word Sarga. And he mistakes that going to heaven as moksha. Therefore, moksha, the timeless mokshaha, is not attainable as a result of time-bound action. Karma arabhyaha na mokshaha. Mokshaha na karma arabhyaha. This is made very clear. Then, we'll go to the next sentence. The poor Pakshi will not give it up, okay, that easily. No, he has another view. Okay. See, we have Karma Kandaha and Upasana Kandaha. In Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda together conform the most voluminous portion of Veda Shastram. Varieties of rituals have been prescribed. We know that. Even though we do not know what rituals are prescribed, we know that it is a book of rituals. He says, without merely performing rituals, we perform rituals, we accumulate punyam, relevant rituals, accumulate punyam. Then there are certain specific meditations also prescribed. When a person practices certain meditations also, as prescribed in the Upasana Kanda, he can earn much more punyam. Which means he can combine the practice of meditation along with the performance of rituals. This combination of practice of meditation along with the performance of ritual will enable a person accumulate abundance of punyam. So we also understood in certain Upasana portions when we studied in before which many Upanishads, same Taittiriya Upanishad we have studied before, the Moola Grantha we have studied, we know how Virad Upasanam, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, etc. The specific Upasanams, when practiced along with the performance of rituals, one can earn much more abundance of punyam, which will enable a person travel through Shukla Gatihi, go to higher lokas, even to the Brahma Loka, and the possibility of attaining Krama Muktihi, and possibility of going to heaven and coming back into this world, etc., we have understood before. These are very, you're all thorough with these teachings. I'm sure none of you have any doubt here. So here, but this Karma Kandi here, he says, Purimamsaka says, we can combine the performance of ritual with the practice of meditation. As a result of which, we can accumulate some special punyam. And with that punyam, moksha is accomplishable. Again, he comes back with the same answer. Okay. Even now, many people think meditation is enough to attain moksha. That is why that view is broken here itself. Okay. Let us see the portion here. Vidya sahitanam karmanam. Please make a note. The word vidya literally means knowledge. The word jnanam also means knowledge. Sometimes, in some contexts, the word vidya is used in the sense of meditation. So, Sri Vidya, we say, actually it's all upasanam, meditation only. People who are initiated into Sri Vidya, no, we say, it's upasanam. So, Vidya, it's Sri add, because it's to make it, to understand the greatness, and Sri is also added. So, Vidya is equal to meditation. Vidya sahitanam karmanam. So, Vidya sahitam karma. The ritual combined with the practice of meditation. Vidya sahitam karma. Vidya sahitani karmani. So, rituals, performance of rituals combined with the practice of meditation. For them, Vidya sahitanam karma. Karmanam, Vidya Sahitanam Karmanam, Nitya Arambha Samarthyam, Nityasya Arambhasya Samarthyam, Nityasya Arambha Samarthyam. Samarthyam is what? Capability, capacity. He says, the rituals performed along with the practice of meditation have the capacity. Samarthyam, capacity for what? Capability of producing, bringing into existence the timeless, producing timeless, some ever permanent moksha. They can produce everlasting result, timeless result. Time-bound ritual also, when performed along with the practice of meditation, can produce unique punyam that it has the capacity to produce timeless, everlasting result, which means moksha is everlasting. So it can produce everlasting moksha. That is his idea. Nitya Arambha Samarthyam. Iti Chet. The Chet means what? That is, the Chet is if I say, the Chet comes, it's a, what he means is, if I say now, okay, you say ritual is time bound, therefore it cannot produce everlasting moksha. So heaven has a beginning, so it is not moksha. He cannot have a beginning. Now he says, now he gives a different reason. If I perform a ritual along with the practice of meditation, then it should have the capacity to produce something timeless, everlasting. What do you say? That is what he means here. Vidyasahitanam karmanam nityarambha samarthyam iti chet. Shankaracharya says, no. Why? Virodhat. The reason he gives. Virodhat. Again, how many times to repeat to you? Timeless. Okay. When you say it is contradictory to say that everlasting has a beginning. Timeless has a beginning. You use the term nitya, it has a beginning. Nityasya arambaha. The two words are contradictory. Nityasya arambaha. It is an improper state improper word. Nityasya arambaha. Very wrong to say this. Why? Arambaha means beginning. Nitya means timeless. Nityasya arambaha means beginning of the eternal. Beginning of the eternal. How can there be the very work, the sentence itself, the wording itself is wrong. Nityasya arambaha. Nitya arambaha. Itself is wrong to say. There's contradiction. Eternal, timeless, cannot have a beginning. Anything which has a beginning cannot be eternal. Virodhat. Therefore, there is contradiction. Virodhat. Due to the contradiction. Virodha, contradiction. Due to the contradiction in the very expression that beginning of the eternal. It is not possible. What is not possible? Even ritual performed along with the practice of meditation cannot produce something timeless. Especially, definitely not mokshaha. Again, nityam cha arabhyate iti viruddham. What is niruviruddham? Nityam cha arabhyate and nityam arabhyate iti viruddham. It is wrong to state nityam is begun. Timeless is begun. To say it is not correct. Okay. Now, this Pura Pakshi, Karma Kandi, continues again. But now what he does, he takes the view of a logician, Tarka Shastrajnaha, holding on to the idea of a logician, Tarka Shastrajna. He wants to prove that moksha, permanent moksha, everlasting moksha, can have a beginning. He says, we can perform ritual, practice meditation, we can produce unique punyam, as a result of which we can attain heaven. Of course, heaven is mokshaha. It has a beginning, but it will last forever. It will last forever. Or for him, moksha can have a beginning. Still, it can be permanent. To state this, he cannot say, hey, himself, he holds on to the idea, the view of a logician. So to understand, let us see what is a view of a logician. Okay. Before I go to next, read this next sentence, I want to make it very clear. Bhavaha, please listen to me carefully. The word bhavaha. Bhavaha is a noun. Derived from the root bhu, bhavati, bhavaha. Bhavati means exists. Asti, bhavati, exists. And from the noun is bhavaha, existence. So the word bhavaha, it does not mean thought here. Bhavaha means existence. And what is the opposite of the word bhavaha is abhavaha, non-existence. Bhavaha, existence. Abhavaha, non-existence. And we heard these two words in our Bhagavad Gita class, 16th chapter. So 16th verse, second chapter. Second chapter, 16th verse, the long commentary explains these two words, bhavaha and abhavaha. We understood bhavasya, sataha, abhavaha, na vidyate, asataha, bhavaha, na vidyate, asat has no non-existence, asat has no existence. Sat has no non-existence. We understood that. Sat has no non-existence. Asat has no existence. We understood. So, bhavaha means existence. Abhavaha means non-existence. According to Vedanta Shastram, okay, by the time we complete this Taittiriya Upanishad Bhashyam this time, I tell you, you will really see how absolutely there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. From the standpoint of Vedanta Shastram, non-existence is something relative. Non-existence, otherwise we can say absence. Absence, abhavaha means absence. Abhavaha means non-existence. This non-existence is a noun. It is relative. Absolutely, there is no such thing called non-existence at all. This is a fact, an extremely subtle fact. We will understand this. We will understand this. That is why we are studying. And that absolutely, what is there is only existence. That existence, which alone is there absolutely, is nothing but pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is pure existence. Absolutely, what is only consciousness, which is pure existence. There's no such thing called non-existence at all. This is a fact which we would not have understood. Now you will understand. If in understanding this fact, you will see how beautiful and how nice it is, how subtle it is. This is going to come later on. But now, these tarkikaha, logicians, not only for them, non-existence is real, and that non-existence is also four types. They define. See, abhavaha, non-existence of something before it is made, before it is created. Non-existence, number one. First type of non-existence of something before it is made, it is created, it is born, is said to be prag abhavaha. Prag abhavaha. This also I had taught long ago. Prag means prior, before. Prak, ka shabda. But when you put together, it becomes jastu sandhi makes it prag. Prak abhavaha, Pragabhavaha means existence prior to the non-existence prior to the creation, production, beginning, birth, origination of a given thing is prior non-existence is pragabhavaha. We'll all accept, yes, there is non-existence of something before it is made. Our own body, let us take our own physical body, before the birth of the body, all of us have date of birth, our own specific date of birth, date of time, the time of birth, date of birth. And before the birth of the physical body, there was, this body was not there. That is what? No, pragabhavaha, the non-existence of the physical body, like the non-existence of a pot which before it is made, a non-existence of a house before it is built. There's an empty space, you see. There was no house. Before the house was built, the new colony was set up, There was no house. Means there is non-existence of a house, non-existence of a pot, non-existence of a body before its birth, non-existence of a pot before it is made, non-existence of a house before it was built. That is prior non-existence, pragabhavaha. And this pragabhavaha, you know, this pragabhavaha has no beginning. Anadihi. When does this prior non-existence begin? When does it begin? So they say it's a beginningless. Anadihi. Prior non-existence is beginningless. There is something called pragabhavaha, and which is beginningless. This is one non-existence. The second type of non-existence they talk about is pradvamsa bhavaha. Pradvamsa abhavaha. Pradvamsaha means destruction. Dvamsaha, pradvamsaha means destruction. So non-existence of something after it is destroyed, after the destruction, non-existence of something after the destruction of something. So after the death of the body, fall of the body, or the cremation of the body, there's non-existence of the body. The same body will not come back. After the demolishing the house, old house, again, new house can be built, but it's not the same old house. So there's a non-existence of the house. And the non-existence of something broken, something destroyed. So non-existence of something destroyed after this destruction is called what? Pradvamsa abhavaha. That part which is destroyed or broken, the house which is demolished, or the body which was cremated, cannot come back. Therefore, that non-existence of something destroyed will not come back. So this, not that non-existence, pradvamsa bhavaha, has beginning. It begins after the destruction. Non-existence of destroyed begins. It has a beginning. Unlike the pragabhavaha, pradvamsa bhavaha has beginning, but it will be permanent. So pradvamsa bhavaha has beginning, it is permanent. Abhavaha, because same body will not come back. Permanent. So pradvamsa bhavaha has a beginning, still it is permanent. We have two more abhavas, just for your knowledge, will it understand. So here Purapakshi will take only these two abhavas, Pragabhavaha and Pradvamsabhavaha. So it makes it very clear. Pragabhavaha has no beginning. But it has an end. Pradvamsabhavaha has a beginning, but has no end. It continues to be there. Pradvamsabhavaha has beginning, but it continues to exist. And he also talks about another two more abhavas. One more abhavaha is anyonya abhavaha. Anyonya abhavaha means, anyonya means mutual. The one nature is not found in another object. So nature of a given object is non-existent in another object. For example, ghataha, pot. Pot has the pot nature, just potness. The form, shape, name, the purpose it serves. That potness is non-existent in table. Potness is not existent in the table. The tableness is not exist, doesn't exist in the pot. So every object being limited by every other object, being different from every other object, the nature of one object is not another object. It's called anyonya abhavaha, mutual non-existence. Windowness is not existent in the door. Doorness is not found in the window. It's called abhavaha. So gavakshatvasya abhavaha, we can say kavate. Kavatatvasya abhavaha gavakshe. So ghatatvasya abhavaha patatvasya abhavaha ghate. It means the potness, there's non-existence of potness in anything, everything other than the pot. And non-existence of anything else in nature of anything else in the pot. It's called anyonya abhavaha, mutual non-existence. Anyonya abhavaha. We need not know all this, because having come to touched this point, let us also understand. And one more abhavaha is there. Atyanta abhavaha. Atyanta abhavaha. Absolute non-existence. Absolute non-existence. That which does not exist, you know. Absolute non-existence. Like, you know, like rabbit's horn, tucham, that does not exist at all, rabbit's horn. So we can't expect, you know, something unnatural. Chill, fire, chillness in fire, absolute non-existence. Therefore, atyanta abhavaha, absolute non-existence, mutual non-existence. And then pradvamsabhavaha, posterior non-existence, means what? Non-existence of something after its destruction. Pragabhavaha, prior non-existence of something, non-existence of something before its origination. And like this, pragabhavaha, pradvamsabhavaha, anyonyabhavaha, pradvamsabhavaha. Vedanti says there is no such a thing called non-existence at all, absolutely. But Tarkikaha says there is non-existence. This non-existence is also four types. Okay, very interesting. Shankar Bhagavatpada's beautifully is going to refute this view. Pragabhavaha pradvamsa bhavaha. So what is he going to say now? This is the view. Take pradvamsa bhavaha. Pradvamsa bhavaha, the posterior non-existence. Non-existence of something after the destruction of it has beginning. Isn't it or not? Doesn't? Has beginning. But that non-existence will continue to be there. Has a beginning, but it will not come to an end. Similarly, if non-existence, pradvamsa bhavaha, has beginning, still it becomes permanent. It doesn't end. Pradvamsa bhavaha, posterior non-existence, has beginning, but it doesn't come to an end. Similarly, there's a general rule, an exceptional rule. What is general rule? Anything which has a beginning will certainly have an end. Anything which comes in time should go in time. This is the general rule. But what is the exception? Always any general rule will have some exception. Look at this. For example, non-existence has a beginning. Posterior non-existence, pradvamsa bhava, has beginning. Still it has an end. It doesn't have an end. So it is exception. Similarly, moksha also can have a beginning, but it can be permanent. Got it now? This is Karpura Purvamamsaka's view. Similarly, just as posterior non-existence has a beginning, still it has an end. It does not have an end. It is permanent. It is timeless. Similarly, moksha also can be what now? Exceptionally can have a beginning, but still it can be permanent. Got it? This what? This Purupakshi wants to say here. Let us see. Yad vinashtam. Look at this. Yad vinashtam. Are you following? Okay. Yad vinashtam tadeva na utpadyate. Yad vinashtam tadeva na utpadyate. Iti pradvamsa abhavavat nityaha api mokshaha arabhyate eva iti chet. Until chet is what? Purupakshi's view. Until chet, Purupakshi's view. He says, chet means what? If. Okay. If I say this, what he wants to say? Yad vinashtam tadeva na utpadyate. That which has been destroyed, that which got destroyed, yad vinashtam abhavat, yad vinashtam bhavati, yad vinashtam bhavati, yad vinashtam abhavat, that which has become destroyed, that which is becomes destroyed, tadeva na utpadyate. Na utpadyate means what? Again, that does not originate. That which has been destroyed does not come back, does not originate. Iti pradvamsa abhavaha. What does it mean here? Pradvamsa abhavaha. It can be a house, it can be a pot, it can be a body, it can be any product which has been created and which got destroyed. Any product after its destruction, it does not come back, isn't it? Again, it does not originate. Na utpadyate. A broken pot, the same broken pot will not come back as a pot. The same destroyed house will not come back as a house. The cremated body will not come back. The same body will not come back. New house can be built, new body can be assumed, new pot can be bought, not the same pot. It's called Yada Vinashtam Tadeva Na Utpadyate. That which gets destroyed, that which becomes destroyed, Na Utpadyate, does not originate, does not come back. Iti Pradhvamsa Abhavaha, Pradhvamsa Abhavavat. But still what? It has a beginning. That is posterior non-existence. Pradhvamsa Abhavaha has beginning. Pradhvamsa Abhavaha has beginning. But still, it does not end. Is it clear? Pradhvamsa Abhavaha has beginning, it doesn't end. So, Pradhvamsa Abhava Vat. Vat means what? Like. Like the Pradhvamsa Abhavaha, which has a beginning, which does not have an end. That's the meaning. Like the Pradhvamsa Abhavaha, which has beginning, which does not have an end. Nityaha Api Mokshaha. Pradhvamsa Abhava Vat. Nityaha Mokshaha Api Arabhyate. This timeless freedom, everlasting freedom, permanent freedom also, arabhyate, is begun, okay, has beginning, is begun, but it doesn't end. Arabhyate doesn't end. Like what? Like Pradhvamsa Abhavaha, Pradhvamsa Abhavavat. Nityaha mokshaha arabhyate natu, okay, natu nashtam bhavati, nashtaha bhavati. Mokshaha arabhyate, mokshaha nashtaha na bhavati. Moksha begins, moksha is begun, but it doesn't come to an end. Like what? Pradhvamsa abhavavat. Like Pradhvamsa Abhavaha, which has a beginning, which has no end. This is not a general rule, it's exception. Exceptionally, it is possible. Like Pradhvamsa Abhavaha. Iti chet, this is the Purapakshi's view. Got it? Now, answer is what? Na. All of us should say equally. Na. No. Na. Okay. Why it is not? First he says, he is going to give two answers. Shankar Bhagavatpada is going to give two answers. First of all, he says, Mokshasya Bhava Rupatvat. You are talking about the beginning of the posterior non-existence. You say posterior non-existence has beginning, but it has no end. Posterior non-existence, Pradhvamsa Abhavaha, has beginning, but it has no end. You are talking about the non-existence. But Mokshaha, moksha is something which is existence. Mokshasya bhava rupatvat. It is not appropriate to compare something which is existent to non-existent. Mokshasya bhava rupatvat. Mokshaha is something which has existence. How? Permanent existence. Beginningless, endless, changeless existence. Freedom is existence. Freedom has beginningless, changeless, endless existence. But you are talking about that which has a beginning, that which does not have an end, is what? Pradvamsa abhavaha. You're talking about the non-existence. Therefore, giving non-existence as an example for explaining moksha which has existence is inappropriate. Is it clear? This is the first answer, first thing he gives. Mokshasya bhava rupatvat na. Okay. In fact, how in Vedanta Shastram the fact that there is no non-existence at all is established. That is very beautiful, that we will see later on. So anyway, Shankaracharya gives appropriate answer. A mokshaha is the swarupam which is aspired for happiness, has existence. And it is not appropriate to compare this mokshaha to the non-existence. Okay. Thereafter, he is going to point out the fallacy in his understanding, even logicians. So logicians' view also is fallacious because there is fallacy. Logical loophole in logician's view. Okay. Logical loophole in logician's view. He is going to show that now. Next sentence. Therefore, that is the something, some view which has which is false, which has fallacy in it, cannot be used here to prove something. So when the example he gives is wrong, naturally his view is wrong. He's going to show it now. Pradvamsa bhavaha api arabhyate iti na sambhavati. First of all, he says, what are you talking? Initially, he asked, though he accepted the fact, what he said, he gave an answer. He has not really accepted. Okay? If at all we accept, okay, accepting the non-acceptable temporarily is said to be abhyupetya vadaha. Abhyupaiti means what? The verb. Abhyupetyavadaha means acceptance of something non-acceptable temporarily for the argument's sake is said to be abhyupetyavadaha. Initially, as though he accepted what he said, that non-existence, pradvamsabhavaha has beginning. Okay. Pradvamsabhavaha has a beginning. Okay. It has no end. Yes, it has no end. Similarly, moksha has a beginning. Moksha can have beginning. Still, moksha can be permanent. Such moksha can be accomplished by combining the performance of ritual with the practice of meditation. Such moksha can be attained as a result of practicing meditation along with the performance of ritual. What he said. But Shankaracharya simply accepting that, as though he was accepting it, he gave an answer. A mokshaha has existence. Mokshaha which enjoys existence is not comparable to non-existence. Therefore, that answer is not correct, first he said. Now, he is going to point out the fallacy, the logical loophole. Look at this. प्रध्वंस अभावः अपि आरभ्यते इति न संभवति. कम ऑन, इट डस नॉट हैपन. न संभवति, इट डस नॉट हैपन एट ऑल. व्हाट डस नॉट हैपन एट ऑल? बिगिनिंग ऑफ द नॉन प्रध्वंस अभावः. प्रध्वंस अभावः हैज अ बिगिनिंग. That doesn't happen. Pradhamsa bhavaha does not begin. So Pradhamsa bhavaha has a beginning. What you say is not correct. Okay. Pradhamsa bhavaha arabhyate. Pradhamsa bhavaha is begun. Or the posterior non-existence begins. What you say, it doesn't happen. There is no such a thing called beginning of posterior non-existence. Non-existence cannot have a beginning. Abhavasya vishesha अभावात् विकल्पमात्रमेतत्. विशेषाभावात्, सी अभावस्य विशेषाभावात् विकल्पमात्रमेतत्. इनफैक्ट नॉन एग्जिस्टेंस इट्सेल्फ इज अ मिसकंसेप्शन. नॉन एग्जिस्टेंस इट्सेल्फ is only in one's perception, is one's kalpana, one's imagination. Absolutely, there's no non-existence. And saying that non-existence has a beginning, again, it is something wrong. And in this context, you know, who is helping us? We have to be thankful to Anandagiri. Adishankar Bhagavatpada's disciple Anandagiri. We have his Sureshwacharya, we have that teaching. His Tika he writes. See, anything existent alone is subject to go through modifications. Again, what is beginning? Beginning, origination, birth, creation, all these were synonyms. Okay? Like Thesaurus book says, they're all synonyms. Beginning, origination, creation, they're all synonyms. And is big anything, the birth, there's a birth. So birth, begin, the origination, creation, etc. They're all modification, changes. What is birth? Birth is a change. Modification. Origination is a change. Creation is a change. This change can is always of something which is existent only. Change or modification is always of something existent only. Something must be existent for it to undergo change. A non-existent thing cannot undergo any changes. It's non-existent. That's why we say the physical body Shad vikaravan, shad bhava vikaravan dehaha. Not only physical body, anything and everything which is existent in this world is subject to this modification, sixfold modifications. First it is there, the jayate, asti, jayate, vardhate, vipranamate, apakshiyate, nashyati. These are shad bhava vikaraha. So jayate, birth implying origination or beginning, beginning of the body is what? Birth of the body, which is a change, modification. Similarly, anything, any change, the beginning implies a change, and a change is something only of an existent thing. Okay, beginning or birth is a change, modification. Modification can be only of something which is existent. A non-existent thing cannot have any change. Therefore, beginning is not possible. Understand? Therefore, abhavaha, the non-existence which you are talking about, does not, non-existence cannot have a change. So it cannot have a beginning. Understand? This, even your very statement, pradhamsa abhavaha arabhyate, the non-existence of something begins, that is wrong. Abhavasya visesha abhavat kalpamatram. It is only what? Kalpana matram. It is just vikalpa matram. Vikalpaha. Vikalpa matram. Vikalpa matram is what? It is just an imagination. It is erroneous conclusion. It is an expression of what one's lack of discriminative understanding. Therefore, vikalpa matram etat, really speaking, abhavasya arambaha nasti. Non-existence cannot have, does not have beginning. Beginning is a modification, change. And a change is always of something which is existent. Okay? Therefore, the very giving example, pradhamsa bhavaha, logicians, holding on to logicians' idea, that non-existence has a pradhamsa bhavaha, has a beginning, it has no end. Similarly, moksha has a, can have beginning, still moksha can be permanent. This view is incorrect. Example is incorrect, and this is not a fact also. Moksha is permanent, it cannot have a beginning. Therefore, moksha is not attainable as a result of action. Whether you combine upasanam and karma, or you do not combine upasanam and karma, where whatever it is, moksha cannot be the result of an action. Pradham sabhavaha api arabhyate iti na sambhavati. Therefore, mokshaha arabhyate iti na sambhavati. Nityaha mokshaha na arabhyate. Eternal, timeless, everlasting, permanent freedom does not have a beginning. It is already there, always there. Therefore, it has to be known. It has to be discovered. So, mokshaha jnatavyaha. Moksha should be discovered. It should be known. Moksha can be attained only through knowledge. Moksha has been attained in terms of knowledge. It cannot be attained as a result of an action. Now, another interesting view comes. With tomorrow, definitely, I will complete this bhashyam. This Sambandha bhashyam, tomorrow I will complete. Bhava pratyogihi abhavaha. Bhava pratyogihi abhavaha. This is something very subtle teaching. Pratyogi. This is an expression used in Tarkashastram only. you have to bear with this introductory bhashyam, okay? Once you enter into the Upanishad bhashyam, you will enjoy it. Every word will enjoy it. Even now, you will enjoy it, definitely. But it will exercise for buddhi. Okay. Pratiyogi is an expression used in the Tarka Shastra, mostly. Pratiyogi literally means an opponent or that which is opposed is pratiyogi. The word prati itself means something opposed. Pratiyogi. And bhava pratiyogi means bhavasya pratiyogi, bhava pratiyogi. Bhavasya prati, bhavaha means some existence. So, bhava pratiyogihi abhavaha. Abhavaha, absence or non-existence, is that which is opposed to existence. Abhavaha, bhava pratiyogi, bhavasya pratiyogi. Non-existence is that which is opposed to existence. Now, why, what we are seeing now, very interesting. Through this, Shankar Bhagavatpada is going to explain to us how there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. We can only talk of the existence. Okay? There's only existence. There's no non-existence. What is existence? What is that which alone is there as existence? That we understand in the second chapter. But here, now at present, he by stating this sentences in this commentary, Shankaracharya is going to make us understand how there is only existence. There is no such a thing called non-existence. To state that, he first explains what is abhavaha. Bhavasya pratiyogi hi abhavaha. Non-existence is that which is opposed to existence. Okay. Now, let us understand existence. There is existence, and this existence is one. We do not use the word, there's no plural word for existence. Just as there's no plural form word for consciousness. We cannot say consciousnesses, it is wrong. Because consciousness is one. Similarly, existence is a singular word. Singular word. And it is a noun. Existence is one. And it is attributeless. Existence is one. It is nirgunam. We can say satta. Existence in Samskritam is said to be satta. The rest of the Bhashyam sentence I'll explain tomorrow. I'm preparing you for tomorrow's understanding. Existence in Sanskritam is said to be Satta. Satta or Sat or Satyam. Satyam, Satta, Sat. Three words. Remember. Satta, Sat, Satyam. Satyam means truth. Satyam means reality. Satyam means real. Satyam means truthfulness in speech. So different words. But here understand, the word Satyam means Sat. Sat means Satta, existence. And a singular word. And the existence is ekam, one. It is nirgunam. Nirgunam, attributeless. It is sarvagatam. It is all pervasive. Ekam, nityam. What is existence? Existence is a phenomenon. Okay. It's a reality. It is one. It is attributeless. It is all pervasive. Ekam, nirgunam, sarvagatam. And existence has no beginning. Existence has no beginning. Existence does no end. Existence undergo any change. Therefore, existence is nityam. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, nirgunam. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, nirgunam, attributeless. Existence has no attribute. And swatantram. Existence, noun, is not dependent on any namarupa in this world. For existence, swatantram. Five words you must remember. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, nirgunam, swatantram. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, nirgunam, swatantram. Each and every word, okay, reveals only what? The existence in terms of snitch is one. And also, existence is what? Niravayavam, nirvikaram. It is unchanging. There is a nirvikaram. It is not subject to any change. Formless. Nirgunam. This existence is formless. Existence is not subject to any change. And it is partless. Partless. Indivisible also. Existence is indivisible. Existence is undivided. It is partless whole. What all the features, remember with reference to consciousness, you have to remember all those things, because existence and consciousness are one and the same. They're not two. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, nirgunam. Okay. Nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam. Divisionless. Arupam. Formless. This existence. Therefore, this also beginningless, endless, changeless, bhavaha. And what we do? When you say existence of the house, existence of the person, existence of the tree, existence of table, existence of something, when you say any form, name and function, any given object, any given object having its form, name and function is used here. And we make this noun an adjective. Existence of a tree. Existence of a man. Existence of house. Any object is made to be a noun of this actual noun. So what is this existence? Let us understand it tomorrow. Okay. What is this ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, nirgunam, nirvikalpam, nirantaram, arupam, swatantram, sat? What is this? We'll understand tomorrow. Okay. We'll understand existence tomorrow, and thereby we'll understand how there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. Therefore, what? Non-existence is not there at all. It cannot have a beginning. Okay, beginning cannot be of something non-existent. Okay. Then once you understand this here, finally, I'll give you a beautiful small gist of the whole of Sambandha Bhashyam for you to remember. Is it clear? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.